The Cuban-born queen of salsa, Celia Cruz, with her famous song Burundanga, which is also the name of a deeply mysterious drug. It's hard to imagine how such a beautiful bush as the angel's trumpet is the source of such notorious and dark folklore. Brugmansia is a genus of the Solanaceae family, native to South America, but you might know it as Datura and even have one in bloom right now in your backyard. In fact, I saw a specimen last week in my local botanical gardens, dripping in gorgeous pendulous flowers. Natasha Mitchell with you for All in the Mind on ABC Radio National. Our cultural chemistry series has explored substances that mould minds and shape cultures. And today, a story of crime, free will and botanical mystery. We're off to Colombia to meet Dr. Vaughan Bell, a British psychologist, a long-time listener to the show. He's also a gifted writer with his great blog called Mind Hacks. And I've invited Vaughan to go sleuthing for the truth about a popular plant with a complex personality.
My name is Vaughan Bell. I'm a clinical psychologist and I live and work in Medellin, in Colombia, in Latin America. And one of the things that's really struck me since I first moved here is stories about people being spiked with the drug Burundanga. Now, many of these stories sound a bit like urban legends, and they usually go something like this. A man goes to a bar, he's having a drink, and he meets a beautiful woman, and she eventually buys him a drink. 2 days later, the man wakes up and he can't remember anything that's happened since meeting the woman. But he discovers that his house and bank account have been completely cleaned out. When he tells this to his neighbours, they sound really surprised because they saw him with an attractive stranger loading all of his possessions into someone else's car. Now, the belief here is that the drug removes your free will. When you're under the influence of the drug, you just go along with whatever it's said to you. Now, if this is genuinely the case, the drug may be one of the greatest discoveries of modern neuroscience, because free will is one of the things that science most struggles with. How much control we have over our actions, whether we can consciously change our actions, how much of our ability to select our own destiny is generated by our conscious mechanisms of selection and control in the brain. And here we have a drug that can possibly just remove that ability.
Some say it's a gas, some say they use powder, other people say they give you something to drink, sweets, all sorts of things, you know, so I mean, quite honestly, it's very frequent here.
The other form is with the flowers, bark or leaves, mainly the leaves, which are rolled into a type of cigarette. It's lit, the person takes a drag but doesn't breathe it in, and then the smoke is blown at someone who they want to knock out and rob.
The most common situation is, for example, people who are in a bank trying to withdraw some money, or in a bar when the victim is alone, and the criminals can put the powder or the substance in their drinks or in their skin.
So they rob themselves and they kidnap themselves, but under the orders of other people and the effects of the Burundanga. Even these days, they say in the news that it's used on people to harvest their organs and different parts of their bodies. They use it to knock people out.
But, I mean, amongst the Indians, I know that the Huizca people, the Chibcha, they used it precisely when they were going to sacrifice someone. So precisely, the person sort of lost all control, he didn't realise what was happening, he took things very happily, and then of course down came the knife and cut out his heart. But it seemed to take away pain, and it also seemed to leave the person completely unconscious of what in fact was happening, though he was sort of with it, in a way, you know.
There's a town here in Antioquia called Segovia, which has a reputation as a town where the women are witches, because they say that when they're attracted to a man, he subsequently falls in love with them. But it's not really the case that they actually fall in love. It's more that the women look for a way to slip him a dose of borrachero, so they lose their free will and stay with them. The women continually give their lovers small doses of the plant in their breakfast, coffee, drinks, so they remain with her forever. This was common when the gold mines were active in Segovia because it was a source of pride to be able to marry a foreigner. So don't go to Segovia.
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, kisses went in.
Well, maybe I'll try that, but with a bit of care. So I'm here in Medellin's Botanic Garden, an absolute oasis of green in what's quite a tightly packed, dense urban city. And I'm here because I've been told, tucked away in a corner, they have a Brugmansia plant. And this is a plant which is used to make burundanga. So I just want to get a really good close look at it and try and find out as much about it as I can.
Los flores allí, como trompetas.
Those ones?
Sí, señora.
At this point, I bump into three women who are here on holiday from the Santander region of Colombia, and it turns out they've got a really interesting story to tell about their experience of Brugmansia.
Oh, en serio? So, ¿qué pasó con tu padre?
Okay, so what happened with your dad?
Well, my dad got home almost like he was dying, all crazy. He was behaving really strangely. And if you ask him where he was, he couldn't remember anything. He'd even lost his memory.
¿Y qué pasó exactamente?
So what exactly happened? How was he poisoned with burundanga?
His drink was spiked. It all started with a fight, so they gave him burundanga in one of his drinks to be able to manipulate him easier. That's what burundanga is mainly used for. My husband became aggressive. He was attacking everybody. It seems that a girl wanted to rob him, but he didn't let her. So then he was beaten and his hand was broken. So when he got home, he was very traumatized. His body was all jumpy. We were in bed and he ended up on the floor. And the next day, when he woke up, he was not all there. He was acting like a dumb person in nappies. He didn't know who his wife or children were. He didn't know anything. But thank God he recovered from that. Also, coffee helped. He was in that state for around 3 days.
Wow. Es muy duro, ¿no?
Yeah, it was horrifying.
So I've heard from many people here in Colombia that the drug takes away free will. So when you're affected by burundanga, you can't choose. You just do whatever you're told.
Yeah, that's true. I had to tell him what to do. Sit down, and he would sit. It's like when you deal with a disabled child. He hasn't got his five senses working in full. Exactly like that. With such an innocent look, that little bush can do so much damage.
Now, these stories always have a little bit of the urban legend around them. However, the drug genuinely exists. It's from a genus of plants called Brugmansia. It's known in English as the angel's trumpet, and in Spanish, rather appropriately, as el borrachero, the drunkard. And the most important ingredient in a plant is a chemical called scopolamine, and this is actually used quite widely in science and medicine. In medicine, it's often used after operations to stop people feeling nauseous. And in science, it's often used to simulate amnesia. When people are under the influence of the drug, they can't lay down new memories. Reports are like, it's like waking up moment to moment. It's like just coming to consciousness every few seconds because you can't remember just what's happened in the few minutes before. However, this isn't the whole story about the drug, because the plant actually has a really long history. It's been used by thousands of years of indigenous people in South America for ceremonial purposes, because it alters the mind and it can generate hallucinations and visions, which have been really important in the religious ceremonies of many indigenous people in Colombia and other Latin American countries for thousands of years.
So many people here in Barichara, and when I was working in Boyacá, they always say exactly the same thing. You must never lie under a datura tree because the scent of the flowers will give you very strange dreams.
I'm in the small Colombian town of Barichara in an area called Santander, which is in the north of Colombia. And I'm here to meet a doctor, an artist and an anthropologist called Isabel Crook. Isabel Crook has been in Colombia since the 60s. She's actually English, but has a great deal of experience of working with the indigenous people here and has been living in this small town, working with the locals for many, many years.
It's not just here, as I say, in Boyacá, and the Indians themselves. In the myth, the Mutsu people say that Fuyari, the first god, created man and woman. Fura was the woman, and Tena was the man. Fura and Tena started giving birth to all the Mutsu people. And, well, the people lived in peace and harmony, there were no diseases, the people didn't grow old, there was no robbery, people just lived happily. Until one day one of the evil gods arrived and, of course, started talking to one of the young men about the fact that wouldn't he like to know what's further afield? What the god said was that he would find it through the Burundanga, through the Datura. So he would have to go out and find it. So off he goes, down into the valleys and up into the mountains, until eventually he got to the house of Tena, the first woman. So he said he was looking for a plant which would give them the possibility to see further, you know, look towards perfection, the world of the gods. So the two of them go out and they search, but they don't find anything until eventually, absolutely exhausted, they lie down under a tree and go to sleep. That is the Datura. And they have these very erotic dreams, and she is unfaithful to her husband. He, when he discovers, of course, kills himself. And this is the beginning of the end of the first Mutsu. And then disease appears, they grow old, tragedies happen. She cries over her husband's dead body, and they say that her tears turned into emeralds. And that is why all that region of Danchi, Mutsu, etc., is considered, though it's an emerald zone, it's considered completely cursed right from the beginnings of time. And in fact, with all the tragedies that happen with the emerald mines, it's not surprising.
And this is all through the god using Burundanga to tempt the people.
Exactly. Exactly, using the Datura.
Wow. Did you say you had a plant here? Could we have a look at it?
Here's a flower. And it's lovely because it starts off this colour and then it starts going pink and turns into a lovely pinky shade. And it's a long trumpet shape that opens up at the bottom into one, two, three, four, five.
Finishes in a five-pointed star at the end of the flower. And it does have an absolutely amazing smell.
It's kind of wonderful smell. It starts around 6 o'clock in the evening.
It's very sweet and almost overpoweringly sweet, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, so that's probably about 10, 12 feet high there.
Mm-hmm. And it flowers every 3 months.
It's a beautifully sunny day here in Medellin, and I'm in the middle of the city at the University of Antioquia to meet with Ramiro Fonegra, one of the country's foremost ethnobotanists and a particular expert on the cultural and spiritual uses of many of the native plants here. He has a huge knowledge of South America and the South American botany. Oh, and it looks like he's just turned up. One second. Hola, profesor. ¿Cómo está usted? Hola, buenas.
¿Ya está aburrido ahí o qué?
Le descubrí cuando... So I heard about you when I was in the Museum of Anthropology at the University of Antioquia, and a section of the exhibition about Brugmansia really caught my eye. So what's known about the history of the plant in South America?
A great deal. The effect of the plant was recorded by the conquistadors as one that induced sleep, not so much as a hallucinogen. It's a plant that's widely used in all of Colombia. Amongst all of the indigenous people, it's used as a magical plant by shamans, healers, witches. In each indigenous community, it's called something different. They say it gives the healer power to know what illness a person has, so they take it in small quantities and they also give it to the sick person. And generally, Brugmansia, in all indigenous communities, is also part of Yaje, which you're familiar with, which isn't a single plant, but a mix of approximately 11 plants. And in that mix, el borrachero is extremely important. The indigenous people consider it to be a sacred plant, and they never consume it on its own. And the shamans say it's a gift from the gods, and it's chosen specifically for the patient and the illness. It's a very religious belief, to the point where sometimes they won't tell you the ingredients in the mix or even what the effects are. There's a big debate about the effects of scopolamine. The majority of doctors say it's a myth that it inhibits free will, but for those who work with the people, we see that yes, it does inhibit free will. Because when a person is injected, or they take it in a drink, or it's thrown in their face, the person acts normally, but it's like they're hypnotized and they do whatever is said to them. At the weekends, it's often used in cases of rape of women and adolescents, where they're given the drug, taken to hotels, motels, even other cities. When they're found, they don't know how they've come to be in those places. Recently, it's also been debated. Here in Medellin, a lot of cars are robbed at the traffic lights where people stop with their windows open. Water with an infusion of leaves or flowers is squirted into the ear. It seems it penetrates rapidly through the ear, and they're told to move from the driver's seat, and the thief takes control, takes off, and then drops off the driver somewhere else. When they find the driver after 2 or 3 days, they say they don't know where they are, and the person only remembers to the point where they came into contact with the drug, but from that point, they don't remember anything.
So it works very quickly?
It works very quickly, in fractions of a second. Imagine, during the change of the lights, they change to red, the drug is applied, and by the time they turn green, the person is under the effect of the drug.
Yeah, this is really interesting, actually, because we don't actually really know much about it. No one has really done much research. There are many studies on the effect on memory, but none on the effects on suggestibility or conformity.
No one has done a follow-up of the people, and it needs to be done.
So in many theories about drug effects, there's a lot of discussion about what's known as set and setting. That is, your attitude to the drug changes the experienced effects. I'm interested in the fact that there are reported differences between the effects when it is used traditionally, recreationally, criminally.
Borrachero is almost never used like cocaine or morphine. It's just not used like that. In the cities, in the urban areas, it's almost always used to commit offences, to steal money or valuables or commit sexual offences. In rural communities, it's a medicine, a sedative for anxiety that's applied externally. And for the indigenous people, it's part of their religious practice. So it doesn't have a recreational use where people take it just to feel good like other drugs such as cocaine or marijuana.
I'm just outside a small shack farm on the outskirts of Medellin in a small neighbourhood called Naquia, which is really where the city stops and the mountains start. And I'm here because about a week ago I noticed that there's a beautiful burundanga plant on the property. And I was chatting to the owner, José Luis, and just asking him about the plant and whether I could turn up in about a week's time and just take a few photos and chat to him some more. So I've just arrived, but when I asked whether I could record myself talking about the plant and maybe a few words from him, he's actually just quite politely but quite firmly asked me to leave the property. He says that his neighbours say the plant is perjudicial, it's trouble essentially. And they want him to get rid of it because they say people are coming here and taking the plant and using it for criminal purposes. Whereas José Luis says that he's giving it to people in good faith and they say it's for medicinal purposes. But there's a bit of a concern that his neighbours want him to clear the plant off his property. And so he says that me recording is going to bring him some undue attention. So he's just asked me to leave. So I'm just recording this from about 100 yards down the street while he watches me carefully from his farm gate.
Okay, thank you. My name is Juliana Gomez. I'm a psychiatrist.
I'm here in the office of Dr. Juliana Gomez, a psychiatrist professor here at the University Hospital San Vicente de Paul in the city of Medellin in Colombia.
I'm in charge of the inpatient ward, psychiatric inpatient ward here in the hospital.
And I'm here just to talk to her about her experience of dealing with patients who have been poisoned with burundanga and some of the science behind the popular beliefs and some of the medical knowledge about dealing with patients who have been intoxicated with the plant. So how many patients intoxicated with burundanga would arrive at the hospital in an average week?
It's very difficult to say. It's more common in different times of the year. For example, Christmas, for example, the time of the month when the people get paid. So the felonies or the criminals are ready to rob people whenever they have money and there's more prosperity. And basically, the patients arrive to the hospital after being robbed or being assaulted, and they are found wandering in the streets, not knowing where they are, without money, without identification, in some state of confusion. They can become aggressive, they can produce self-harm or harm to others, although the most common symptoms are sedation and passive behavior. So they come here, and the first thing to do is to assess the mental state examination and the hemodynamic state. How's the blood pressure, the heart rate, basic vital signs in general. It's also important to rule out sexual abuse or to rule out any other type of trauma. And after that, we order the complete screening of toxic examination, the measure of cocaine, scopolamine, phenothiazines, benzodiazepines in urine to see if what kind of substance the patient has in his body. Mm-hmm. Basically, many people recognize burundanga as scopolamine. And scopolamine is an anticholinergic drug. So the basic symptom is confusion. That's the most important symptom and the most relevant. They can show up with other physical signs or symptoms, dilated pupils, hot and red skin, dry mucus, tachycardia sometimes, that's frequent also. And also amnesia, that's the most important, and that's the purpose of the drug, actually. So people can get robbed or they can do things and they won't remember it.
Do we know anything about why the drug makes people more passive?
It is thought that scopolamine can affect part of the brain in the temporal lobe that is called amygdala, regulatory center for fear, for aggression. So it becomes flattened with the effect of the drug. The people can become passive and less aggressive.
And how long do the effects of the drug last?
The acute confusion may last for days, like 3 or 4 days, until the drug is completely eliminated by the body. But we have seen cases of people, they remain amnesic, and show changes in their personality. But also we can see cases of patients that develop anxiety or stress disorder, specifically post-traumatic stress disorder, related to the kind of abuse and the use of the substance, and because memory is fragmented.
And how do you treat a patient who's been poisoned with burundanga?
There's not a specific treatment for scopolamine. We treat symptoms derived from the intoxication. So if the patient gets anxious, we treat anxiety. Sometimes we need to use also benzodiazepines in the emergency room or the days after the intoxication because the patient is agitated or aggressive or very anxious, so we use benzodiazepines. Sometimes we use antipsychotics if the patient has some sort of psychotic syndrome. But for the amnesia, there's no treatment at all. There's no treatment for the personality changes. So basically, the treatment is conservative.
It's still used by indigenous people here. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, have you ever had any indigenous people in emergency department who are suffering from burundanga poisoning?
Never. I think indigenous people know how to deal with the substance and they know how to use it, what's the right amount to use. So basically the cases we see here in the emergency room are victims of criminal acts. So no, not indigenous people.
Un fuego de sangre pura que con lamento se canta.
And the popular belief is that the drug removes your free will. I'm just wondering what your opinion is about this belief.
That belief is controversial. My opinion is the changes in free will are probably caused by other type of drugs. In many cases, the criminals use some sort of mixture of substances, including benzodiazepines or other kind of sedatives, and also scopolamine. So they use scopolamine to force people to forget everything. But the free will, I think, is caused by drugs that are more depressant of the central nervous system. All depressants of the central nervous system, alcohol or benzodiazepines, can cause a different state of mind in which the people are incapable of being completely aware of what is happening. They become more disinhibited. They can follow commands. They cannot distinguish between right and well. They become more suggestible. So it could be hypnotic or hypnosis-like state.
So do you just think people are easier to bully in a way? They're easier to intimidate?
Definitely, yes.
I'm really fascinated by it because, for example, in Britain in the last few years, there's been a lot of concern in the news about date rape drugs. And there was a study done recently which looked at people who turned up at A&E who believed they'd been dosed by Rohypnol or, you know, benzodiazepine. And it turns out the majority of people who believed they were dosed are actually just very drunk. And I'm very interested in Burundanga in Colombia because we know through studies that it's quite common. Through toxicological studies, we know it does happen quite a bit. I'm really struck by the fact the plant has so many diverse stories and legends attached to it. So you mentioned the fact that if you have a flower by your bed, it affects your dreams. People in the cities believe that it can remove your free will. Indigenous people have kind of legends about it, you know, making people very tranquil or allowing them to enter other planes of existence. I mean, do you have any opinion why it has so many diverse views about it?
And there are many different varieties. So I suppose in a way it depends what kind of datura you have at your fingertips and what the effects are going to be, and how, in fact, they have been used by the culture within which you live. Because, I mean, always, I mean, that's just part of man's way of looking at life, you know. What can I use it for? How can I exploit it, you know? And obviously, lots of Indian communities have discovered, you know, any relationship with Burundanga leads to this state of quietude, of tranquility. Well, if it gives me tranquility, what part of it is giving me that, you know? So let's try the leaves, let's try the flower, let's try the seed. And in every experience, well, we're going to discover something new.
Colombian-based doctor and artist Isabel Crook, and before her psychiatrist Dr. Juliana Gomez, both speaking with clinical psychologist Dr. Vaughan Bell, who recorded the interviews for today's show. So I wonder, could the effects of Brugmansia on our free will be a myth, one of the pantheon of myths that have travelled with this curious plant for centuries in Colombia? In Vaughan's words, we don't actually know, but the plant's effects could be a really important ingredient in understanding how the brain generates our ability to choose our own actions and whether we're the captains of our own destiny. And Vaughan has written a piece for the All in the Mind blog about today's show, and his great blog is called Mind Hacks. Get to that and the audio transcript and a place to comment via abc.net.au/rn/allinthemind. That's the last in our cultural chemistry series. Kudos to Corinne Podger, Angie Grant, Alejandra Asila Olaja and Gary Havrilay. I'm Natasha Mitchell. Next week, our summer season of highlight shows kicks off for Christmas.
The gardener, when he first came and saw that I was growing Burundanga, he said, "Whatever are you growing that for? These flowers are very dangerous because you have very strange dreams with that. You might sort of not be able to wake up." I thought, well, I don't know about it. The smell is absolutely gorgeous, so I'm going to put it by the side of my bed. But no dreams, nothing other than a normal. I do rather tend to have very strange dreams anyway.
On the health report, why garlic might be good for your heart, but it's a different smell. We'll take a look at homeopathy applied to a surprising health problem, We'll try to answer which is better for you, swimming or gravity-based exercise. A study gives water the edge. And a large group of private specialists open the curtains on their performance, not just on their procedures, but on looking after their patients in the long term. And if you want to hear more about all that, why not download a Health Report podcast from Radio National's website?